Hello, friends. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 28th day of November. I'm Paul White. Thanks for joining me on the Lord's Day. Thankful for each and every one of you. You are a online community, as far as I'm concerned. The difference, not all of you get to interact with one another in the way we would in face-to-face community. And so for that reason, I'm not sure that digital communities are enough, though they are definitely a supplement in our lives. And what I mean by are enough is I think it is important that we have face-to-face community where it's possible. I'm always trying to work through how that looks for different people in different settings, and I certainly don't have the final answer on that, if I have any answer at all. But I do believe that if you're hungry for community, you will find it. You'll find a way to create it, even if that must be the case. And if you aren't hungry for community, I think you will be. I think it's part of the DNA of being the body of Christ is that we eventually do find ourselves hungry for that community. We turn the corner today. We've spent some time the last few days in Hebrews, and then yesterday with some announcements and different things going on in the ministry. Today we go back to the Genesis account of Abraham as we're working through his story. We've been talking about Abraham since chapter 12. And not a verse-by-verse examination, but really highlighting some of the things that's going on in his life. When you get to the 15th chapter, you arrive at what might be, of all of the Abrahamic chapters, the single most important one. I know chapter 12 is vital because that's where Abraham is given the call to adventure and he accepts it. But we don't see any mention of Abraham's righteousness until the 15th chapter. In the 12th chapter, he answers the call to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to go into a land that God will show him. He believes for the promise by his actions. He lives in tents. We've worked with that from the Hebrews 7 commentary on that for the last few days. He builds an altar when he has a revelation that God's going to give him the land. And off of that revelation, he takes a left turn into Egypt, and that turn into Egypt becomes a problem. I'm not trying to recap everything. I'm trying to show you this gap between his initial call and the declaration of his righteousness. It's an interesting gap. When you leave the 12th chapter, Abram goes out of Egypt back to the altar, the place he had left in the middle of the 12th chapter, and there he realizes that his inheritance is to go where God, what in the direction God gives him. And then you get that great moment where he realizes he's going to have to depart with some of the things from his past, and that's where he and Lot part ways. He allows Lot to choose. Lot chooses the lush, green, fertile valley, and Abram doesn't fight him. He lets him have it because Abram is growing up. He's 75 plus years old, but he's growing up spiritually. He's starting to realize that he doesn't have to make the inheritance happen. So he doesn't fight for the most fruitful land. He takes what's left over because God can do more with what's left over than he can do with the abundance. And then the 14th chapter plays that out right in front of his eyes because Lot moved into the lush valley only to find himself in the middle of a war between two different or sets of kings, four kings on one side, three kings on the other, and Lot ends up being kidnapped, taken for ransom, and Abraham has to go down into that lush valley and rescue Lot and do so at the point of the sword. When Abram's coming back from that, he encounters Melchizedek. He has his great first encounter with what the New Testament will begin to refer to as a priestly order that Christ is a part of. Abraham really has, for all intents and purposes, a Christological vision. He sees the bread and the wine. He's the first to have that revelation in the Bible. And then we arrive at the 15th chapter. Now, I want to remind you that 12, 13, 14, those are the chapters accompanying the Abrahamic story, and not a mention of Abraham being righteous. There is Abraham being a recipient of inheritance or promise. He's been told he'll be blessed, that he'll have great possessions, that God would give him the land. But at the end of 14, Abraham's got to wonder. He starts to wonder, I believe, if he's doing something wrong because he's getting older. We've probably put at least a few years behind him now. He's getting older. He still has not had a son of his own. He's had all of these external conflicts, and there's reason to fear now, perhaps fear the people around him for the first time, but maybe more so fear that he will not have a son and live to see the promise of God. We know that late in the 15th chapter, God promises him that he's going to be buried at a good old age. In our vernacular, he's already at a pretty good old age. He's at least 75 or 80 at the time of that proclamation, or older. But God's got even more in store for Abraham, that that's not going to be the end of his story. And so I don't want to jump ahead of myself too much, but when God gives you a promise that you're going to last to a good old age, it allows you to relax until you arrive at the good old age. We'll say more about that when we arrive at that verse, because I do have some things I want to say in regards to that from the New Testament. I want to read the 15th chapter, verse 1 today. After these things, and these things are the Melchizedek moment, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." The question I would ask is, why is Abraham afraid? The 15th chapter, God specifically tells him not to be afraid. This is a statement that will be repeated over and over in the Bible. Anytime people encounter God, they seem to be afraid. It doesn't seem to be that Abram is afraid of the presence of the Lord. It's something else. I think it has to do In the natural realm, it has to do with the fact that he's just had this conflict with these kings in chapter 14. But at a psychological level, his fear is the fear Jesus came to alleviate, and that is the fear of death. He's going to be told in the 15th chapter that he's going to live to that ripe old age. I think we see the source of the fear of death way back in the Abrahamic story, because The fear of death involves the fear that there's nothing afterward. There's not a developed theology of the afterlife in Genesis 15. We don't see people talking about dying and going to heaven and hell. That's a much, much later development. And some of that go to hell stuff is actually a post-biblical revelation of how to interpret the hermeneutic of the Bible. And Abraham is like a lot of us. Let me say it this way. Abraham exemplifies what happens when a man has no assurance that he's either leaving something behind worth leaving, or he's going somewhere that matters. Abraham, at this point, isn't so sure he's not going to die having left no seed on the earth, and therefore it's all over. And it might be a type of someone who dies not believing that they have anywhere to go after they're dead. When the book of Hebrews says that Christ died to release us who all of our lifetimes had been in fear of death, the reason the text says that is because when Christ dies, he resurrects. And therefore, it teaches us that we too resurrect. So we don't have to fear death, because we know it's not the end game. God tells Abram, "Don't be afraid. I'll be your shield. I'm your reward." I want to end here today with a rebuttal. Abraham doesn't say, "Okay, sounds good." Instead, verse 2, "But Abraham said." And so Abraham struggles to receive the promise that God is his reward. We're going to look at what God being his reward means to Abram, what that might mean to us. And we'll do that on tomorrow's podcast. Have a great day. God bless.